It was a strong, slender rope with a striped red and blue handle at each end, but Mary Lennox had never seen a skipping rope before. She gazed at it with a mystified expression. "What is it for?" she asked curiously. "For?" cried out Martha. "Does that mean that they've not got skipping ropes in India, for all they've got elephants and tigers and camels? No wonder most of 'em's black. This is what it's for. Just watch me." And she ran into the middle of the room and, taking a handle in each hand, began to skip and skip and skip, while Mary turned in her chair to stare at her, and the queer faces in the old portraits seemed to stare at her too, and wonder what on earth this common little cottager had the impudence to be doing under their very noses. But Martha did not even see them. The interest and curiosity in Mistress Mary's face delighted her, and she went on skipping and counted as she skipped until she had reached 100. "I could skip longer than that," she said when she stopped. "I've skipped as much as 500 when I was 12, but I wasn't as fat then as I am now when I was in practice." Mary got up from her chair, beginning to feel excited herself. "It looks nice," she said. "Your mother is a kind woman. Do you think I could ever skip like that?" "You just try it," urged Martha, handing her the skipping rope. "You can't skip 100 at first, but if you practice, you'll mount up. That's what Mother said. She says nothing will do her more good than skipping rope. It's the sensiblest toy a child can have. Let her play out in the fresh air skipping, and it'll stretch her legs and arms and give her some strength in 'em." It was plain that there was not a great deal of strength in Mistress Mary's arms and legs when she first began to skip. She was not very clever at it, but she liked it so much that she did not want to stop. "Put on thy things and run and skip out of doors," said Martha. "Mother said I must tell you to keep out of doors as much as you could, even when it rains a bit, so as the wrap up warm." Mary put on her coat and hat and took her skipping rope over her arm. She opened the door to go out, and then suddenly thought of something and turned back rather slowly. "Martha," she said, "they were your wages. It was your tuppence, really. Thank you." She said it stiffly, because she was not used to thanking people or noticing that they did things for her. "Thank you," she said, and held out her hand, because she did not know what else to do. Martha gave her hand a clumsy little shake, as if she was not accustomed to this sort of thing either.